Gold is said to have the highest annual return in almost 50 years, and justifiably, it's getting a lot of attention. Because with many things, as soon as it's getting a good return, then a lot of people start paying attention. And the one-year return for gold is almost 50%. So you, along with many other people, are probably asking, is this a good time to buy gold? Should I buy gold? Should I include it in my portfolio? And have I been missing out? So let's look at a few things. How well has gold actually been performing? Let's compare it to a few other asset classes and think about, is it a good thing to include in your portfolio? But also let's discuss Bitcoin and is this a good asset to hold if we're in an asset bubble? Because maybe that is also worth thinking about. Gold has a reputation of being a safe haven asset. I'll explain in a while what that exactly means. But typically, we would expect gold to perform well when the stock market isn't performing well. As you can see from this chart, there were a few times in history when gold experienced a bull market while the stock market experienced a bear market, especially focused on the years between 2000 and 2010. Because this is when the dot-com crash happened, as well as the global financial crisis. So during this time, the S&P 500 in this case did not really perform and it barely recovered. While on the other side, gold performed really well over this period. Because gold is traditionally the people's hedge or protection against market chaos, inflation, and geopolitical tension. And stocks, on the other side, thrive in times of stability, growth, and optimism. So in basic terms, that would mean if there is a lot of uncertainty, then people are expected to run to gold. But if there is a lot of stability and growth projections and positivity about what's going to happen in the economy, then people tend to move towards stocks. But right now, both of these assets are at an all-time high, and that is not what we would expect. So what is the reason for this? Personally, you would know that I am a pro stock market girly and that I prefer to hold long-term investments and get exposure to the stock market through low-cost ETFs. And this is basically what I talk about on my channel all the time. Also, if you're interested in learning more about that specifically, I have a free masterclass that you can watch and you can follow the link in the caption if you're interested in looking at that. It's a great learning opportunity. It's 90 minutes long and it's free. So I would definitely encourage you to have a look at that. But let's get back to gold, because this year is the first time it surpassed the $4,000 per ounce price. But at the same time, the S&P 500 and Bitcoin have reached all-time highs. Most people are saying the same thing. They're saying that investors are buying gold as a safe haven against all the uncertainty in the world, and also riding the stock market waves because of AI and tech stocks that are doing so well. But there's a different perspective and perhaps a better explanation. I found this interesting article in the Financial Times written by Rishir Sharma, and he has the opinion that the reason gold is surging at the moment is not because everyone's running to it because of the safe haven status, but rather because there is so much liquidity in the market. So let me explain that. During COVID and the years after that, governments and central banks injected a lot of cash into the economies to stimulate growth, known as quantitative easing. That cash is still floating around in the system, and it will for a few more years. Also, right now, the Fed is lowering interest rates, which is reducing the cost of borrowing, leading to even further money going into the system because of cost of borrowing is now lower. And all of this means there's even more cash in the system. For example, in the US, money market funds now hold over $7 trillion and $1.5 trillion above the long-term trend. So there is a lot of liquidity, which is just a fancy way to say that there is a lot of money around. And governments are spending, which also pushes more money into the system. The US is running the highest deficit out of all other developed countries. And this creates more money and a surplus in the private sector. So in short, money is everywhere and it needs to go somewhere. In his article, Sharma argues that when liquidity is high, people's risk appetite grows. That means money is flowing into all kinds of assets, including both stocks and gold and Bitcoin. On top of this, investing is becoming more and more accessible to the everyday investor like you and me. Zero commission investing apps are making it cheaper than ever. Fractional shares and passive funds are driving more people to invest in the stock market. And people are comfortable with using technology and using apps on their phones to start investing in the stock market. This means more buyers, which equals more demand. Even gold ETFs are booming. The third quarter of this year had the highest ever quarterly ETF flows into gold. So we might come to the conclusion that it's not fear driving this growth in the gold market, but rather all the money that's going around. If you're interested in investing topics like this, and especially what smart stock market investing looks like, then a good place to start could be to watch my free masterclass. Follow the link in the description to watch it. So the question becomes, how long will this liquidity or the amount of money that's in the system last? And what happens when it ends? Because if inflation starts to rise, then central banks will have to implement measures to bring it down. And that will mean removing money out of the system through different measures, like increasing interest rates or selling bonds or decreasing government spending. Because interest rates move in cycles, as you can see from this chart. And really, central banks use economic indicators such as inflation, employment data, and GDP growth to decide whether they need to increase or decrease interest rates, which is just one of the measures that they use to influence the amount of money that's in the system. And currently, the Fed is reducing and expected to further reduce interest rates in the future. So we're actually at the part of the interest rate cycle where it's expected to go down. But as soon as central banks start implementing measures to remove money out of the system, then the picture for gold and other asset classes will look different. But as I mentioned, governments look at inflation, employment data, and GDP growth, among other things, to decide whether they're going to decrease or increase interest rates, bring money out, or bring money into the system. And something here that's really interesting, I think, is how AI is influencing all of this. Because as we know, a lot of firms are taking jobs out of the job market because they're now using AI to replace people. So if AI is going to replace jobs, then we're going to have high unemployment. And if unemployment is high, this is one of the indicators that central banks will now have to start and try to stimulate economic growth to add more jobs into the job market. If these jobs are continuously just being replaced by AI and not people actually getting jobs, we're obviously going to sit in a very interesting scenario. If interest rates are already very low and it can't go any lower, how are governments going to respond to this? And how much more money can they add to the system? So I don't have the answer for this, but I think it's going to create a very interesting scenario. So now let's look at if gold is actually a good long-term investment. So $1,000 invested in gold in 1970 would be worth $110,000 today. That sounds great, right? And if you had invested the same $1,000 in the S&P 500 in 1970, you'd have $86,500. So you'd have less than the gold investor. And this is something that a lot of people miss, is what if you had reinvested your dividends that the S&P 500 pays? Then you'd have $389,000. And that's is three times more than the gold investor. And the difference lies in yields, or in dividends that's being paid in the case of the S&P 500. Gold doesn't do anything. And this is why Warren Buffett says, if you buy 1 ounce of gold, you'll always just have 1 ounce. And this is why him and me are not big fans of investing in gold. Stocks, on the other hand, are productive assets. So they generate profits, they pay dividends. And over time, these dividends can be reinvested, which creates compounding growth. And as I've shown you just now, the dividends portion, or dividends being reinvested, can have a massive, massive difference on the value of the investment over time. On the other side, gold isn't a productive asset and it doesn't pay a dividend. So while the price of gold has gone up more than the price of the S&P 500, that doesn't include the full picture of the dividends being reinvested. And this is why many long-term investors say gold may shine occasionally, but stock compounds consistently. So charts like these, which compares the S&P 500 price index to the price of gold, fails to consider dividends and the dividends on the S&P 500, which when reinvested can create a much more valuable investment over time. So anytime I see these kind of charts, I always look at the time period that they make this comparison for, because depending on the time period, there are times where gold would have outperformed stocks by far, like I showed you before, between 2000 and 2010. But most of the case, when someone makes this comparison, they fail to consider or to include the dividends portion. So always question that when you see any charts like this. Because in actual fact, if we look at this on a total return basis, which consider the price increase, but also the dividends return being reinvested, this is what a chart really looks like that compares in an accurate manner the S&P 500 return to gold. Then we also need to consider Bitcoin, because many people will say you can no longer have a conversation about gold without mentioning Bitcoin. And personally, I agree. I'm definitely not a crypto bro, and it's not something that I, in general, promote a lot on my channel. Is I don't talk about crypto a lot. But I think any investor in 2025 should be thinking about and considering Bitcoin in an investment portfolio. Some investors call Bitcoin the digital gold. And in many ways, this comparison makes sense. It has a capped supply, it is decentralized, it's not controlled by a government, and it is seen as a store of value. But as you can see from this chart, Bitcoin is far more volatile than gold. And this is usually the argument that many people will use to say that it does not act like gold, because gold isn't that volatile. But to be honest, Bitcoin is still in its infancy. So I think comparing Bitcoin as an asset to gold, which as an asset has existed for centuries, is not fair. And once Bitcoin matures as an asset, it will become more stable and it won't be as volatile. But then the question is, if it isn't that volatile, will it still yield the superior returns that we're seeing? I'm not sure what the answer is, but in my personal opinion, I would say probably not. As soon as it starts acting like gold, it's probably going to have the same return profile as gold. But there is still a lot of uncertainty around Bitcoin, which leads to volatility. Although in the past few years, we have definitely seen more regulation around it and also more governments starting to adopt Bitcoin. But it's still in the development stage. It's still being shaped by regulation and by technological development. For some people, Bitcoin is a bet on the future. For others, it's a speculation. I think it's interesting if you look at all videos about the internet where people said it's crazy, it's never gonna work, and it's just speculation. And we did have a period of bubble territory during the dot-com boom and bust. But in the end, a lot of it stuck around and it did end up being a very valuable technology. Either way, whether you think it's speculation or not, I think it's worthwhile having a conversation about this and learning and continue to learning more about Bitcoin. Because personally, I am including some Bitcoin in my portfolio, although it's not a big portion. And ultimately, I would not want to have more than 10% exposure in my portfolio to Bitcoin. Maybe that's too conservative. Let me know what you think. So where does this leave us? Personally, I'm still going for the majority of my investment portfolio being invested in globally diversified low-cost ETFs with some Bitcoin, as I mentioned. And while gold might seem attractive right now because of the big rally that it's just recently had, if you look at history, it tells us that over the long term, gold has definitely been underperforming in terms of performance, or on a total return basis, at least. Remember that. Also, it doesn't provide any income. And hopefully, as a Money with Carla follower, we're on the same page, or on some of the same pages by now. And that is that we're smart investors. We like investing in productive assets that pay us an income and that allows us to experience a lot of compounding growth in the long term. I'd love to hear what you think about this video, what you think about investing in gold, and what your approach is to this. Please let me know in the comments, and hopefully we can have some interesting insights. See you next time.